Father, we are just excited to open your word one more time. Help us to rightly divide your word of truth, not to misplace punctuation that we're not sure where it should go, and help us not to misuse anything in your scripture to push a personal agenda. But I pray that we can hear your heart, Father God, and share your thoughts and your words according to the way that you would like them to be shared. Amen. If you're going to follow along in the Pew Bibles, we are in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 15 today. That's on page 1788. If you've got it in your phone app or something, it's probably just as quick to find it just by pushing a couple buttons. But Ephesians 5 and verse 15. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. That's not the completion of a thought. The sentence continues on, but I'm going to stop there for today's text. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise. English Standard Version and some other versions use that as more as walk. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but is wise. The Christian walk, Christian faith, Christian life, it's kind of, there's a lot of different ways to talk about it, but as you're walking the walk, who are we being led by? The section that came before this is an awful lot about light and darkness, and are we illuminating the path that's in front of us? Are we allowing God to be our light? Are we following His ways and His purposes? And so the word then shows up, and there's so many transitional phrases and words as you go through this passage. If you start trying to track back, it's like, okay, you go to the previous verse. This is why it is said. Well, wait, what is why it's said? Now you have to go to the verse before that. So you really have to kind of put the whole thing together. And we could go all the way back to Ephesians 1:1 and read this as a letter, the way it probably would have been presented most often in the early days when it was first written. This entire book is all about, it's written to followers of the way, followers of Jesus, people that are holy ones, righteous ones, accepted in the beloved, called out into the family, adopted into the family of God. And if we're living as God's family, and we see these terms, you, it didn't show up there, but it's talking to all of us. All of y'all, be very careful then how you live. Well, then would refer back to everything else that's come before this. The fact that God cared enough about you to be your Savior, to die for you, to love you enough to bring you into His family, and to prepare a place for you. All of these things that we recognize as privileges of being in the way, in the way of Christ, following the way, those are things that would tell us, it's like, okay, well, if all of this is true, then we probably should be careful how we walk, how we live. We should be careful how we think. We should be careful how we approach life. And there's plenty of stumbling blocks that can be put in the way. As you're walking along the path, do you realize that one area that has divided and separated Christian communities more so probably than anything else over the last 5-6 years is politics? It could go back further than that. It could go back 20 years or more, but political differences within churches shouldn't be a dividing point. And when any of us start not being careful as we walk, and we make our political agenda or our political understanding of the way that world is as more important than what Scripture says, it can be a dividing point. I was reading a pretty long article this morning about a church down in Alabama that ended up splitting over the issue of these people didn't follow Donald Trump enough and these people did follow him too much. And they couldn't find a way to love each other in the midst of a differing opinion in politics. I have not seen that in this congregation, and praise God for that. I've seen a group of people that we could probably find some that are almost on the extremes, even on either side. And some of us are on the extremes just by ourselves, one person. There's some issues where I'm extremely, extremely conservative. There's other issues where I would be extremely, extremely liberal. And that's how God created us, okay? Now, Romans 14 says, make sure that whatever your choices are, you answer to God. You make sure you're right with God. But there's also all of this information in Scripture about not judging one another. And so as we approach life and we look at, okay, Kathy and I have different opinions sometimes. Sometimes heated differences. And yet, the love can still be there as long as we keep realizing, you know, God is our maker. She was created in the image of God. I was actually created in the image of God. I know that I hide it pretty well sometimes, but he loves us all. And do you know that he makes all of us just a little bit different? If two of us were exactly the same, one of us would be redundant and unnecessary. I think there's beauty in diversity. And we can learn from one another. There's passages that talk about how Christians get together and iron sharpening iron. You're rubbing up against each other and it makes you both sharper. Spurring one another on to love and good deeds is another verse I like to keep going back to. It's like, you know what? I love you so much that I'd like you to improve, but I hope that you love me enough to help me improve too. Spurring one another. As you look through the New Testament, it's more than just a few times that it mentions one another. There's a lot of one another's. When we get into some of the passages later on in chapter 5 and in chapter 6 here in Ephesians, it's going to start talking about submission, and that's a weird concept, and I'm warning you, it's going to come. But it's like, it's to one another. This isn't something that it's one person has all the knowledge and all of the authority and they lord it over you. Jesus is given all authority, and what does he do with it? He says, hey, come to me, everybody that's weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So if we learn how to use authority properly, even as God gives us more authority in people's lives, if we start being oppressive and lording it over them, that's not going to help anyone. You know, so all of the one another's, it's how does that work? And it's like, okay, we need to be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. Now there's some times where I say things and immediately I realize that was unwise. But sometimes it's too late, it's out. Slipped out, it's gone. And then Kathy may be offended. Rightfully so. And she may let something slip that's unwise. And when that's happening, those cycles can bring us down. And they can keep us from loving God and loving others. And there's two commandments in Scripture. Love the Lord your God with your whole heart, mind, soul, purpose, everything, and love your neighbor as yourself. We can't do that if we're not walking carefully and looking carefully at how we live. There's a passage in Proverbs. There's a whole lot of wisdom literature in the book of Proverbs. And I would recommend if you just spend time there, read a few, you know, a chapter a day. If you read a chapter a day, you can get through the whole book in a month and do it again next month. There's a lot of wisdom in Proverbs, and oftentimes it's just kind of a saying that gets thrown in there, and then you look at that and you realize, yeah, these two things don't go together. Which one should I choose? There's a lot of, you know, foolishness or wisdom, and back and forth like that. This proverb in chapter 9 and verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. That's one of those Hebrew poetry methods where it kind of builds on, you know, the second phrase builds on the first phrase. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If we're supposed to be careful to walk in wisdom and not as unwise, how do we do that? Well, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. If we get to know God better, we're going to have understanding. If we fear the Lord to the point where we say, okay, God, I'm not in charge, but you are, and we keep turning to Him and asking you, what next? How do we take this next step? What should we do now? I'm guessing that many of us have thought, as we watch what's going on in the world around us, how can we appropriately, lovingly respond where we don't make things worse? It's kind of like a physician taking the Hippocratic Oath. It's like, you know, first do no harm. In relationships, it's real easy to do harm. And especially when everyone's feelings and emotions are on edge. And if we're already feeling like, okay, people don't understand me, and they have to understand me, and I'm going to force them to understand me, and we can go off onto that opinion of they have to think like I think. And oftentimes discussions become more about me trying to get somebody else to agree with me than me trying to understand them and have them understand me. If we can find that common bond of understanding, we don't even have to agree to love one another. And we don't even have to go to that trite phrase of, can we agree to disagree? We don't even have to agree to disagree. We just know we're going to disagree sometimes. But we can still love each other beyond the disagreement. And if we're walking carefully, if you're being very careful how you live, there's going to be less of those stumbling blocks that drag the people around us down. Where are we going to get all this wisdom? How are we going to know what's wise and what's unwise? Well, Scripture. The Holy One will interpret for us as we read Scripture. The fear of the Lord. Let's go to God and say, Lord, I messed up. What do I do next? Is there a way to fix this? And God in His grace, I love that He keeps giving more and more forgiveness and you know, talk about second chances. When Peter's trying to be all magnanimous, he's, Lord, what if I forgive my enemy 7 times? Wouldn't that be pretty good of me? Jesus, how about 7 times 70? How about you forgive him 490 times just today? Can you do that? Because if we can go there and recognize that, yeah, it's really not about us. It's all about God. And if He can forgive us for everything we've done, we should be able to forgive each other. That's part of walking carefully. In Matthew chapter 7 is getting close to the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And this is a fun sermon that Jesus preaches, and He pretty much hits everybody in it. If you can read through chapters 5, 6, and 7 of Matthew and not be convicted, read through it again because you probably missed something. Even if you've been a follower of Jesus for a while, there's stuff in there that we all need to hear again and again. But in Matthew chapter 7, starting in verse 24, he says, therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, I think another verse says be doers of the word and not just hearers only. It's like, yeah, you can hear the word, but and puts them into practice, be doers also. Everyone that does that is like a wise man. I like that. I want to be a wise man. So what do we have to do to be a wise man again? Let's look back. You have to hear the words that God says to us and put them into practice. Be doers of God's word. Then you're like a wise man who built his house on a rock. Now, just because your house is built on a rock and just because you have a solid foundation doesn't mean the world's not going to throw trouble at you. It says, the rain came down. The streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house. Yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. So if you're listening to God's word and you're doing His word, it's like having a foundation on the rock. By the way, that's another one of the names that's given to Jesus. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice. So both groups heard the word. Thank you. Both groups heard the word. Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. Can you see that? There's this contrast of people that are living wisely and people that are living foolishly. The ones that are living wisely heard the word of God, and they're practicing and doing that. The ones that live foolishly heard the word of God and then rejected it and walked away from it or just didn't practice it. And some people, even in churches, believe it or not, they're religious people. They know God's word really, really well, but they don't practice his word. They're not being careful in how they live. And sometimes that's us. And we can't go into the world and explain to the world what all they need to do to fix themselves. As I read through Scripture, you know what? Scripture wasn't written for the world. It's written for us, to convict us, to bring us back to correctness and righteousness and holiness. I'm going to turn back to one of my other favorite passages that I keep going back to, and it's Romans 12. And, you know, if you haven't got that in your mind, that Romans 12 is a good place to go when you just need a little bit of direction and instruction in righteousness. Remember, Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, this is on page 1732 in the Pew Bibles. I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. If you want to walk in wisdom, it's a sacrifice. You're giving yourself to God's purposes and to his will. And he continues on, and we could read through, and every one of these verses is going to give you some more insight into how to live or walk in wisdom. Like, love must be sincere. Okay, well, some people can pretend to love, but they're not really loving. It has to be sincere. It's got to be from the heart. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. This is all good stuff. Don't take vengeance. That's God's job. All of these things in Romans 12. And then the final verse in Romans 12, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Someone in Chaz or CHOP or whatever they're calling themselves this week, up in Seattle's autonomous zone, where their police-free zone or whatever they're calling it, was one of their leaders in that group was being interviewed, and her response to the question of, is it really okay for you to be looting and burning buildings and beating people up when they come in and try to preach Jesus and things like this? She says, well, violence against violence is never wrong. And she justified, because somebody else was bad first, then she gets to be bad back to them. And he's like, well, wait, who's been violent to you? And her response again was, well, you came here voluntarily, but I was dragged to the United States from Africa against my will. She's carrying a 200 or 300, 400 year grudge. And if we're trying to live with that kind of a anchor of anger, and we have justification in our actions based on, you know, somebody else is more wrong than I am, that's not going to bring peace. People have been wronged. We need to find a way to make sure and walk carefully. Be careful then how you live. Let's close in prayer. Now to him who is able, to Jesus, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, the church, to him be glory to the church and in Christ Jesus, throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, we come to you knowing that we need you. We want to be careful how we walk, how we live, and yet there's so many places where we can get tripped up. There's so many ways we can let anger or wrath or bitterness get the best of us. Or pride. Haughtiness, thinking that somehow we've got the answers and somebody else doesn't. And help us to love those that we look at and say, well, they're not very lovable. And yet you looked at me and said, yeah, I know all your faults and I love you anyway. Thank you, Jesus, for the example, but for the relationship you give us, for the care and the kindness and Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit fruit that can be shown through us. Thank you, Jesus, that joy can take place in the midst of crazy chaos and sadness, that peace can happen when it's not even explainable where that peace is coming from. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you promise you will take us through and guide us and lead us. So as we make our best effort to be very careful how we walk or how we live, give me wisdom to keep turning back to the Holy One. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And we need more knowledge of the Holy One so we can have true understanding. Help us to be more concerned about understanding and being understood than about getting people to agree with us. And Father, just continue to turn my heart, turn all of our hearts more and more towards you and towards your people. Amen.